It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com. That's mybradio.com. And of course, on the 77 WABC app. I want to thank the listeners. I know I sound like a broken record here, but what could I do? It's a big honor and something that needs to be mentioned, and that is the fact that we are consistently in the top 10 in New York AM radio, according to Nielsen. That's a very big honor, and that's a thank you to you, the great listeners. This radio show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and discuss so many, you know, business-related categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, retail, strategic planning, marketing and advertising, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you're guaranteed to walk away with solid takeaways to get you ahead in today's business world. As we do each week, we open with some thank you. Special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, and to the entire team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group who play such an important support role. Cirilli, Rena, Miriam, Dina, Hoodie, thank you. And to the great team at 77 WABC, Alex, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. Also a shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpacha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column, the most recent episode feature the interview we had with Shep Hyken, where we discussed his new book, Be Amazing or Go Home. We talked about, and it's covered in there, the moments of magic, moments of misery, and moments of mediocrity. We certainly all want to strive to be at the moment of magic, and you can access that easily by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. That's where you can access every single past episode of Mind Your Business. In fact, I just, list off some of the past amazing guests we've had on the show. Shep Hyken, we just mentioned, Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, Paul Massey of Cushman & Wakefield, Chris McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers, John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and so many other fantastic guests, Jeffrey Hazel, Jay Baer, the list goes on and on. They're all easily accessible by going to mybradio.com. That's their interview, that is. These are people not that easy to get a hold of, but you could hear their wisdom by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, going to tonight's very special guest, Mark Crowley. We have on the line a leadership consultant and speaker. Mark has held various leadership positions for some of the largest financial institutions in the U.S., and he offered this very special business book called Lead from the Heart. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss some of the aspects that all great leaders have in common. How, why, and to what extent a company should empower its employees. And we're going to talk about millennials and Gen Z, what they expect from the workplace, and how to adjust your leadership style accordingly. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Mark Crowley. Mark, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
And thank you, Yitzhak. I'm thrilled to be here. In fact, two things I want to just point out as
sure.
we get started. One is your genius thanking people at the beginning of your show. We'll get into this, but gratitude and expressing appreciation to everyone who helps was tremendously impressive to me.
Thank you.
And I also grew up in Garden City out on Long Island. I'm in La Jolla, California now, but I grew up listening to WABC, and I'm just excited to be talking to my fellow New Yorkers and New Jersey friends.
Oh, that's great. Garden City, right down the Bell Parkway in the southern state.
out on Long Island, exactly.
That's right.
You got it right.
Long Island. Oh, nice, nice. So, Mark, I with someone with your amount of leadership experience, we know that it doesn't happen overnight. Maybe before we get into the meat and potatoes of the conversation, what was your journey like? How did you get to where you are today?
Well, That's a really, really big question. So I suppose the best place to start would be just to say that I am a business leader at heart. Mm-hmm. I spent 25 years in the rough and tumble financial services world and started off as a management trainee out of college and worked my way up to two national level positions. I'm a real estate broker. I have several investment securities licenses. So I understand the nuts and bolts of business and financial services. But I think deep down, what I am is fundamentally a leader of people. I got tremendous results from people, regardless what their job level was, regardless of their education, etc. And so I progressed all the way up to two national level positions. And in my most recent position, I led 2,000 stockbrokers across the country for one of the largest financial institutions and was named leader of the year. And I think, nice. Inherently in all of this, what I discovered, which kind of connects to this idea of this journey, is that I manage people fundamentally differently. I manage people very, very differently, and I know you're going to want to explore what I mean by that, but mm-hmm. I'll just say that what I tried to do in leaving that career and writing this book was to describe certain leadership practices that I had discovered through and really truly refined would maximize loyalty, maximize human commitment, and all the things that leaders want in terms of productivity and ultimately profitability. But what happened through this was that through my research and through some really extraordinary synchronicities in terms of who I met and leadership ideas and information from medical science and data on employee engagement and how happy or unhappy people were, I realized, Chuck, that I have something very transformational to say. So rather than just writing a book and, really kind of completing a bucket list kind of accomplishment, I realized when I got done that this was my purpose, this is what I'm here to do, nice. And I'm really here to advocate for a fundamentally different way of managing leading people, knowing the outcomes that I got are transferable to people in every industry, regardless of size of their organization.
Nice. Now, you've served in numerous leadership positions, and perhaps you could share, before we get into some of the takeaways, but some of the experiences that you've had in those positions.
Well, I started off as a management trainee, and I progressed rather quickly, and wasn't really sure why, to be honest with you. I think one of the common denominators of my life experience is that I'm always surprised by the success that I've achieved and the outcomes that I have.
Hey, why is that?
That's an important question, actually, because part of my story is that I grew up, as I mentioned, on Long Island. My father was actually a very, very high-ranking guy at General Electric. At one point was being considered for the CEO. Wow. So you'd think, the guy grew up with a solid father. But in fact, I grew up with a guy who was psychologically abusive, who really tried to destroy my sense of well-being and really wanted to cripple me. And so through the course of my childhood, my mother died when I was very young, and so I was exposed to that energy and that sort of criticism and screaming and yelling and really kind of breaking me down. And then my father decided to kick me out of the house right after high school, and so I was on my own in every way, shape, or form, financially, emotionally, never went back for a holiday, never went back for a birthday, saw him only a few more times before he died. He never apologized or said he regretted it or was sorry. Mm-hmm. And so I went through a really difficult time trying to find my way, trying to survive, and then also try to get through school. And I think because he told me so often that I would never amount to anything and that I was going to be a failure in life, I think I was really, truly driven to graduate from college. But I think there's sort of this lingering, even in my longer in the tooth age, that there's still this lingering, I'm like amazed by what I've been able to accomplish, because I think there's still a little bit of his voice in there saying, that's not who you are, but it's humbled me, because I think that in managing people, I ended up giving to people all the support that I never got. I made people feel safe. I encouraged them. I appreciated them. I gave them thoughtful direction. I taught them everything I knew, all the things that I always wanted and didn't get. And people thrived under that kind of leadership. People just responded so incredibly profoundly. But I think the other thing, Yitzhak, was that, to answer your question directly, is that it healed me too. You know, I got something out of it better than even anything that I gave to people, because when I saw people thrive and I saw my teams excel and I kept getting promoted and recognized, I realized I'm a pretty good leader. What I learned to do because of this corrupt upbringing actually translates into something pretty incredible.
And you know what's special when I, you know, just hearing your story and hearing the pain, but yet how you interpret it. You know, unfortunately, there's so many people in life that deal with challenging situations, but then they're, you know, as you put it, they're crippled because of it, and they just can't shake it off and actually turn that into a positive. You actually not only didn't let it, you know, take you down, but you actually said, okay, I've learned a thing or two from that experience, and now I know how to be better to people. I know what not to do, and actually it empowered me through it. That's special.
You know, people have said that to me before, and I would love to just, you know, chest thump and say, you know, I did it all intentionally, but I didn't. And this goes back to this notion of a higher self and of my purpose, because I think I was in my 40s before somebody who worked for me said, you realize you lead people very differently, don't you? Mm. And I had just gotten all this great success and kept getting promoted and just sort of thought, well, I manage people the way everybody else manages people. I really didn't pay attention to what other people were doing. So when she said it to me, I'd had enough experience to realize that I was doing something differently, but I hadn't had it crystallized. And it was only, I'm not kidding, I was probably 42, 43 years old before I realized that what I had done was to pivot in a very positive way in response to how I grew up. Mm-hmm. So it was unconscious at first. But once I fully understood it, Yitzhak, then I started to say, oh my God, I'm really doing something different. What would have, you know, so I sort of experimented with it and refined it so that I had a completely clear understanding of what it was that people responded to so greatly. And I did all this with the intention of just being a better manager and a better leader. Never had any thought about writing the book. The book came afterwards. So, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, and people have said that to me, but something led me there. I don't know how to explain it otherwise.
Wow. We're going to take a short commercial break, but before we do, our giveaway this week, Mark is very gracious. He is going to personally inscribe a hardcover edition of his book, Lead from the Heart. It's going to go to one lucky listener. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win Mark's book, Lead from the Heart, autographed hardcover copy. Good luck. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
So recently, a healthy couple in their mid-50s came into Alitra Health for their longevity exam. They were not expecting particularly to find anything wrong on the assessment, but the exam showed otherwise.
Dr. Avi Nemitz is medical director at Alitra Health's Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity.
So they go through a very complete evaluation, blood work, scanning of the coronary arteries, stress tests, evaluation by nutritionists and exercise physiologists. We sit down at the end of the day, and his whole world changed in that moment.
Alitra Health provides a full, in-depth, comprehensive
comprehensive longevity exam to detect problems before they occur.
Without an intervention, he was going to have an active cardiac problem. So I told him, look, you're going to be fine. He left with a lot of confidence, knowing exactly what he was supposed to do. We understood what he had, and now he's going to be able to deal with it.
Why spend time worrying when Alitra Health in Manhattan can provide you with a complete snapshot of your health today? Visit alitrahealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A health.com. Alitra Center for Life and Longevity. Because nothing matters if you don't have your health.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Zaftlis right here on 77 WABC. Thank you for joining us this evening. My guest is none other than Mark Crowley, leadership consultant and author of the book, Lead from the Heart. In fact, one lucky listener is going to win the book for free. All you have to do is send a text to 64600, put in the letters MYB. It's that easy. Text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy of Mark's book, Lead from the Heart. Well, Mark, let's talk about employee satisfaction. What's going on? I heard in one of your lectures that roughly 53% of the workforce is not satisfied at work. What's going on?
Well, it's interesting because the organization that was the first to communicate that is in your backyard. They're in New York City. It's a conference board. It's a 100-year-old research organization, and somebody there wisely said 30 years ago, we should keep an eye on employee satisfaction in this country. I don't know what motivated it, but what they discovered through the course of now 30-plus years is that job satisfaction has been on a steep and steady decline ever since. And so people go, well, that's because we've had a really bad recession and we've really been asking a lot of people and jobs were scarce. And so I can understand why people are unhappy. But the conference board has made it emphatically clear. By the way, they do the consumer price index and leading indicator report. They also do this study. Mm-hmm. And so they said, look, don't conflate low scores in employee satisfaction with bad economy, because it went down in the best of economies too. This is fundamentally a leadership problem. And so, one of the things that they discovered also that sort of really brings this home for me is that a few years ago, they found that more people in America enjoy their commutes to and from work than the work that they're going to do.
Ouch.
So that's a leadership problem. It's not an employee problem. It's not the worker is the problem. It's that we're not creating a work environment where people can be happy. And if they're not happy, and I'm not talking about streamers and cake happy, I'm talking about inner happiness, fulfillment, meaning, those kinds of things where people get up in the morning and look forward to going to work. If you got half your population that's really just punching a clock, you got problems for your organization.
Now, okay, so let's get to the core of this. Is it, or perhaps it's a combination of factors, does it have to do with the CEO not being a great, rah-rah and a great motivator? Does it have to do with the fact that people are, they really have to work on themselves first, to just say, hey, wait a second, things are really not that bad. They're just habitually complainers. Is it somewhere in the middle?
For starters, I don't know how many CEOs are listening in, but nobody has a greater impact on culture and how an organization is run and what companies tolerate than a CEO, than the CEO. There's simply no other way around it, right? You're running the company, you kind of set the tone. But the real problem is how we manage people. And the big picture here is that, 75 years ago, Abraham Maslow said that we're all here to fulfill and maximize our own human potential. But, through the course of history, people weren't able to do that because work was fundamentally about making a living, survival. But now that everybody has a chance to really kind of, meet their most basic needs for a roof over their head, food on the table on a consistent basis, and they're not fearing that something's going to be harmful to them, meaning that they're going to lose their home or, you know, if they've got a job that's steady, then people go to work every day and it's like no longer about money that drives their engagement. Money's always going to be important, but it really comes down to how people are made to feel, which, by the way, is the foundational premise of my book. So this idea is that feelings and emotions drive human behavior, what people care about, what they commit to. And so if you work for a boss who's a jerk, you work for a boss who's not supportive, you work for a boss that you don't trust, you work for a boss who advocates for themselves and not for you or for other people, never appreciates you, never gives you opportunities to learn, these create really bad feelings inside of people. And in response, we have this process where the feeling turns into a thought. So you, Chuck, if you don't treat me kindly, I have a feeling inside of me. And that says, okay, well then, you know what, I'm not going to treat him kindly, or I don't really care about this guy, or I don't really want to help him. I don't want to support him. I don't want to be his friend. I don't want to work for him. Conversely, it's the other way around. If you care about people and they can feel that you're authentic and that you really truly want them to be on your team, you want them to succeed, you want to teach them, you want them to accomplish what they want to in their careers, people can feel that too. And we're hardwired as human beings to reciprocate. And so when you're kind, when you're supportive, when you're respectful, when you really demonstrate that I matter to you, I'll scale mountains for you to pay you back for that. That's how powerful it is.
You know, it reminds me of a column. I actually think it made it into my book. Of course, I'm going to send you a copy of my book, where I had, of course, you know, we know what CEO stands for, Chief Executive Officer. I've always felt it really stands for Chief Encouragement Officer.
Well, you know what encouragement means, literally? It means to give heart to people. Nice. So, you know, that's right up my alley here. So that goes right back to feelings. So to encourage somebody, when do we encourage people? When they're down, when they're not optimistic, when they're worried, you know, fearful, believing they can't accomplish something. So to give heart to somebody is literally to give them a feeling inside of them that says, hey, it's not so bad. Hey, this person cares about me. Hey, this person really wants to see me succeed. Hey, this person believes that I can succeed. It shifts us, you know, fundamentally shifts us. So encouragement is, you know, that's what CEOs, that's a huge role. They should be thanking people and telling people how much they matter and how much difference that they make and what the company would be like if they didn't have them. You know, we all kind of feel lost. We all kind of feel like our work doesn't matter and nobody knows what we do and how hard we work and when we're giving up a kid's little league game or missing a TV show or dinner with our spouses in order to get work done. Most bosses don't think about how much of themselves their employees give. And if they were to say, hey, don't think for a minute that I didn't see that you missed your kid's game to get this done and how much I appreciate you for doing that, what a huge sacrifice and what a difference it makes. This is what people are missing in work. And when they miss it, they kind of feel like, you know what, I don't want to give back. And this is why half of Americans are unhappy. We've got a ridiculously low engagement number in this country where it hasn't budged in about 15 years, even though it's like the highest initiative. You see these studies and they said, what are CEOs focused on in 2018? It's driving engagement. And yet they're doing nothing really, truly to drive the numbers any better because they haven't really connected to the fact that it really matters and it really does matter to their bottom line.
Mm. My guest this evening, none other than Mark Crowley, leadership consultant and author of the book Lead from the Heart. In fact, one lucky listener is going to receive the book, a hardcover autographed edition of Lead from the Heart. Yes, he'll be lucky. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, this book is going to one lucky listener. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Good luck. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be right back.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number. You're a partner. Brands Paychex personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Hi, Shep Hyken, your customer service and experience expert, and this is my latest book, Be Amazing or Go Home. Now, it says 7 customer service habits that create confidence with everyone, not just your customers, but the people you work with and even the people at home who you love, who you hang out with, your family members, your best friends. These are habits about building relationships and creating confidence. And while it says 7, there's actually 35 habits broken into 7 categories. Really good habits like amazing people show up ready to amaze, which means you don't just show up on time, you show up maybe even a little bit ahead, prepared, totally head in the game. That really recognizing that great service when you take care of other people is not an accident, it's a habit that you've practiced over and over again. So I want you to think about it. This is the book, Be Amazing or Go Home.
And we're back. Mind your business with Yusuf Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com. I want to remind the listeners that you can access all past episodes. Actually, we're going to be closing in on around 150 of them this summer. We started back in June 2015. Exciting milestone. You do the mathematics. What are there? Roughly 110, 115, 120 episodes up. And we've covered probably every single aspect of the business world that you can imagine, real estate, leadership, social media, and you can access every single guest by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. My guest this evening is none other than Mark Crowley. He is the author of the book Lead from the Heart. And before we get into further questions, I want to remind the listeners that one lucky listener is going to win a free autographed copy of the book, Lead from the Heart. Everyone else, don't worry, you could just go online and or go into Barnes & Noble, Amazon. The book is available, Lead from the Heart by Mark Crowley. The lucky listener is going to get it. All you have to do to enter this giveaway is send a text over. Text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win an autographed hardcover copy of Lead from the Heart. Well, Mark, I want to give a shout out to Ron Carucci, a friend of both of ours. And he wrote Rising to Power, I believe that was the name of his book. Mm-hmm. And actually this segues right into my next question, and that is, we touched on it before the break, employee satisfaction is just at an all-time low, and that really should be a number one priority, or definitely from the top 5 priorities of any CEO. Now, I guess my question is, do companies not realize this, how critical this human aspect is in all this? Are they just focused solely on the bottom line? Why are they missing it?
Well, I think part of it is that they are focused on the bottom line. And there's also sort of a traditional belief system that says that, hey, you got a job, you have a paycheck, you get benefits, you should be happy and you should do your work. And that's sort of the exchange. Yeah. And, companies have gotten away with that forever. And it works to some extent, but to the extent that half of America is unhappy and only 30% are fully engaged, it doesn't work with great success. So you look at that and you say, well, the metrics are pretty poor, so why aren't CEOs responding? And a big part of it is this lingering thought in the back of their minds, which is, you know, why do I have to mess with how people are feeling, right? So that's a transition. Mm-hmm. My argument, obviously, is that if you do, you're going to get tremendous, you know, performance out of people, and companies that are doing this are killing it. You know, I mean, their performance from a stock standpoint, from an employee engagement standpoint, from a loyalty in terms of turnover, you name it, the customer service companies that are leading this way are thriving. But I think the other reason is that a lot of these companies are using metrics that skew the results and make them think they don't have a problem. I'll tell you a funny story. Sure. I just spoke in Chicago to a large professional organization, and the majority of people in the room were CEOs. Mm-hmm. And so I drilled down and told them the numbers, and I told them several stories and basically tried to emphasize the fact that these numbers apply to you. You're not outside of the universe. So when you hear only half of people are happy going to work, half of your people are unhappy going to work. If you're hearing low engagement applies to you. So then for whatever reason, there was another speaker about 2 hours later, and he was one of their members, and he got up there and he was doing his own presentation, and he had this live sampling. So he said, you know, basically go on to your phone and just plug in an answer. And the question was, on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being outstanding, how engaged is are your employees? And like 80% of these CEOs, not an hour or two later, said that theirs were outstanding. I was like, even the guy who was running the sound system looked at me and said, "Are you kidding me?" You know. So you know, the metrics that they use, the survey system that they use, basically comes back with all clear signal, and so they just move on and they don't really take it seriously. So when you ask employees to fill out one of these surveys, they're like, "Why should I care? They're not going to do anything with it." So we kind of have to decide at some point that this matters. And I think what's going to drive this, the biggest driver of this, is full employment. So companies that are really treating people badly, they're going to lose people and are losing people. We had record number of people leave their jobs last month, not just in America, but in Great Britain. People are saying, you know what, I'm fed up and I'm going to leave and I'm going to go to a company where they're going to care about me and treat me differently. And the companies that are losing good people, they're going to realize I'm going to have to do something about this if I don't want this to continue.
Mm. You know, it leads me right on to the next point, and that is emotional intelligence. You know, a couple, I think it was around 20, 30 years ago when it really started to come to the fore, where people realize that just IQ is not everything in life. I mean, of course, it's, you know, it's to be respected, obviously, but there's a whole nother world, and that is people that just are emotionally intelligent. Perhaps you can comment on that.
Well, it's really everything that I'm talking about. It's about being sensitive to other people. It's about having, you know, sort of an ability to not just read people, but feel into people, to get a sense of how they're responding to you, how they're feeling. There's a study that shows that, you know, that just by thanking people, so like if you have a customer service problem and you call an 800 number, if you just thank them at the beginning and say, "Hey, thank you so much. You sound so kind on the phone," just something like that, they immediately want to help you. That's emotional intelligence. That's an example of knowing that we're all human beings and that what we're all really kind of looking for is a little love. And if you can give it to them and be sympathetic or empathetic to what people are feeling in every moment and adjust yourself to it, this is the most powerful skill you can have in the workplace today, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. Let's move on to your book, Lead from the Heart. You know, we so often avoid talking about the heart in business, right? It's all about the bottom line and rough and tumble and what are the numbers and all that. You know, lead from the heart. Maybe first you can get at why did you come up with that? It's a great title, but why did you come up with such a title for a business book?
Well, it's actually, you know, it hasn't been a great title, but because we think when you think about the heart and you put it in the context of business, we go, "Whoa, that's woo-woo, that's soft, that's sentimental, that's weak management, that's, you know, whoever would say that doesn't get business." I mean, that's what we think, because the heart has, you know, it has the romantic connotation, it has the St. Valentine's Day, but really deep down, the heart in leadership and management sort of suggests that you're getting close to people, and we've never believed that that was an effective thing. We think if we get close to people, they're going to take advantage of you. If you get close to people, they're going to get soft around the middle, and they're not going to perform. And so the reason that I called the book Lead from the Heart is because there is science that proves that the heart is really the driver of engagement. Feelings and emotions are the driver of everything that we're looking for. And so once I understood the science behind it, I had to own it. This is what I'm trying to get people to realize, is that it's all about the heart. And if we can just be intelligent, grown up, take the giddiness out of heart, you know, that sort of like little laughter around the idea of heart, and just sort of be mature about it. What I'm really talking about is the human organ, the heart, is a feeling sensing organ that has profound impact on our choices and our decisions, our reasoning. We aren't even aware of it. And as a result of that, what we are dealing with every day are how people are feeling. So I call it Lead from the Heart because you're really kind of thinking from your heart about how to impact people in a very positive and supportive way, knowing that that's going to get the most positive and supportive response from them in terms of all the behavior that you're looking for in work, including productivity.
Fascinating. What's beautiful is how you spell it out so well. You know, there are many people that understand it, and unfortunately many that don't, but then it's a breath of fresh air to hear someone like just explain it out. And like as I'm listening and as the listeners are listening, then there must be, you know, nodding along and saying, you know what, he's right.
I hope so, because what I've been faced with is a lot of people shaking their head the other direction and going, the guy's out of his mind, because they don't understand that there's a science that backs this up. They just hear heart and they immediately go, oh, you know, this guy doesn't get business. This guy couldn't possibly. They just sort of like shut down and don't hear the rest of it. And, I had a marketing consultant tell me, you'll fail if you use this. But I'm trying to change the world. I mean, I know that sounds completely crazy, but I'm really trying to change our view of human management. And the only way to do that is to be, you know, completely aligned to what the truth is, which is we think we're rational beings. We think our minds make all of our decisions. The fact is it's just the opposite. All the way back to being, you know, little tiny cells, we've always been feeling organisms. And when the brain sort of got created in our systems, whenever that was, through our evolution, our brains have gotten incredible, right? But we still are driven by feelings. It's just the brain helps us sort out what we're feeling. It's not the other way around. And so I have to own the heart. I have to call it Lead from the Heart. And I've taken a lot of punches, because people just don't want to hear the rest of it. They go, oh, that's crazy, because that's what we've taught them. And so, you know, my strategy is I've written tons of articles and written articles on, you know, the new science and research and interviewing different authors and just sort of doing this drip by drip by drip to get people to go, oh, the guy actually knows what he's talking about. Yeah. He's actually right, you know. But it's taken some time because of our longstanding bias against it in business.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of an interview that I had with the CEO of Colby Corporation, David Colby, and you know, he was and they have the Colby Index score, and you know, on how to on how people handle certain situations. It's basically how, as I call it, how God hardwired all of us. And, you know, it brings to mind really that conversation. I want to actually encourage the listeners that was a fascinating interview. David Colby, K-O-L-B-E. We're going to take a short commercial break, but before we do, I want to remind the listeners that Mark's book, Lead from the Heart, can be yours, of course, by purchasing it by Barnes & Noble, Amazon. But one lucky listener is going to receive it, an autographed hardcover copy. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. And one lucky listener is going to win it, and everyone else, it's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, etc. It's a one of the, I believe, one of the top 100. In fact, let me have over here. Lead from the Heart is an Amazon.com top 100 bestseller in the business workplace culture category. That's congratulations, Mark. That's not easy to climb up into that category.
Thank you, sir. It's actually, you know, the cool thing is it's being taught in 7 American universities now.
Nice.
And one PhD program, 2 MBA programs, and then undergraduate entrepreneurship and leadership programs. And what that tells me is that the generation that's coming up, the generation that's coming into business, they already are completely aligned to this. You know, I speak to these schools. I've given the graduation commencement speech at the PhD program at Brandman University in California, and I've never had anyone in undergraduate or graduate level work come up to me and say, "Oh, this doesn't make any sense. You know, where did you come up with this?" They're like, how do we make this happen? How do we make this the way we lead? You know, they're just so ready. It's the current level of CEOs. It's the current level of senior leaders who are fighting this, or at least resisting this out of instinct. The next generation, Gen Z, Gen Y, they're already on board.
Wow. Folks, it's that's why we get great guests week in and week out, and this week is no different. Thank you, Mark. We still have a bit more time, but we're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Okay, so you're considering a comprehensive medical exam, but you haven't decided where. At Elytra Health in New York City, we know you have a tight schedule and that you only want the best. We also know you have choices to consider. Well, consider that you could have a world-class executive longevity exam at Elytra's state-of-the-art Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity, right in downtown New York City. Think about the fact that the experts at Elytra Health are a hand-selected staff with more than 30 years of experience in executive exams and concierge medicine, and that top doctors in the area refer their patients to Elytra. Something else to weigh is that cardiac imaging, cancer screening, labs, and all other testing is completed in a single 5-hour visit with white glove service. Plus, you'll receive the results, advice, and follow-up coordination before you leave. Finally, consider how easy it is to get peace of mind from an Elytra exam now by visiting ElytraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A Health.com. Elytra Health. Well, above all.
Is your business owed money? Are you frustrated with trying to recover past due funds and worried you may not get paid? At Ginny Debt Collection, we know dealing with debt collection can be a stressful endeavor. That's why we're here to ease your collection headaches and maximize returns. With more than 15 years serving clients nationwide, Ginny Debt Collection's comprehensive hands-on services help your business efficiently recover past due funds, improve cash flow, and develop strong customer relationships. Call us at 917-400-3253. Gain peace of mind knowing experienced collection professionals are helping you get your money back into your account in the shortest amount of time. Call 917-400-3253 for a free consultation. Let our team of attentive collection specialists recover your money for you so you can focus on growing your business. To get back your hard-earned money, call 917-400-3253. 917-400-3253. Or visit GinnyDebtCollection.com. That's G-I-N-I DebtCollection.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening, Mark Crowley, leadership consultant and author of the book Lead from the Heart. I want to remind the listeners, one lucky listener is going to receive it for free, a hardcover autographed copy of Lead from the Heart. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win it. And by the way, in case you're wondering who wins these books, we always put it out on our social media channels. You can follow me on Twitter, YSaftless, YSAFTLAS, or follow me on Facebook, Yitzhak Saftless, we always publicize who the winners are. So in case you're wondering, it's there. But again, to win the book, the giveaway this week, Lead from the Heart, all you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Good luck. Well, we're back with Mark here. Mark, we only have roughly another 8 to 10 minutes. Let's cover some, still some really important topics, and that is, what are some of the characteristics, or maybe the DNA, quote unquote, of a successful leader?
Well, I think the fundamental one that will surprise some people, but the biggest one is that they're caring people. They care about other people. This is really the differentiator at every level. So if you're a manager of people, you have to be clear in demonstrating to people that you're caring. But there's also some others, in the interest of time, I'd say authentic, that they're honest, trustworthy, normal people. They're not trying to put on pretenses. They let people know who they are. And they also know themselves, so they've done the work. I'm certain you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You've worked through whatever it is that shaped you, and you know your strengths, you know your limitations. You're good on that, and you accept, your limitations as much as your strengths. You know what your values are, and you express those values to people so that people know what you stand for. Obviously, you have to live to those, but, so that people know what is important to you. Seeking excellence, which is a big one, which means if you think the goal should be X, take it to X plus something, because people want to do meaningful work, and so trying to do something extraordinary is pretty highly motivational. And then the last one I would say is honoring everyone, that they're filled with gratitude for people. They express their gratitude, and they do it often, just like you did at the beginning of the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, in an article that you penned, you wrote, "Optimism is the new realism." I guess my question is, how powerful and important is positive psychology in the workplace?
Well, it's funny because, you get on an airplane and people are complaining because they don't have enough, the nuts you want, or, the meals that they're serving aren't what they want. And people complain about a lot of things when they travel. But when you think about that, it's like 70 degrees below zero and you can fly from California to New York in 5 hours, it kind of gives you a different point of view, right? And I think that, the article that you're referring to kind of referenced Thomas Pinker's new book, which is relates to, it's called Enlightenment, but he's basically laying out the fact that we're living longer. Life expectancy in the last 50 years has gone up about 20 years. We're living healthier. The ozone's healing. There's so many reasons to keep in perspective kind of this 70 below zero thing, that if you realize that life is pretty good, then, you're not going to get caught up in all this negativity that the media is, and I'm not criticizing the media. I'm just saying we're all exposed to day-to-day stuff that makes us think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And I think that that's just not true, but it cripples us, and not in the way that I was describing earlier, but in the way that it holds us back, because we think, oh, this, we can't do this because, look how bad these things are. And I'm saying, no, it's much more realistic to be a positive force and be optimistic, and because there's every reason to be optimistic. The other thing I would add in terms of positive psychology is that positive psychology really is about everything we're talking about, which is making people feel supported, valued, and cared for, giving people positive emotions, which is really what drives, you said hardwired a minute ago, and what you said, God put into us. We are hardwired to thrive on positive emotions. There's simply no other way around it. So being negative only shuts us down. Fear is a really bad energy for us. So for leaders, CEOs, anybody running a company, small or big, be optimistic, be positive. That's the greatest thing you can be.
Mark, we're not at the end of the show yet. We still got a couple of minutes, and every minute is precious here. But I just want to remind the listeners, because this I'm sure this, you know, the entire book, which I didn't go cover to cover, but you know, just hearing you and hearing how special this book is, I want to remind the listeners, one lucky listener is going to get it. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, that's MYB, text it over to 64600, and one lucky listener is going to win a hardcover autographed copy. Again, if you don't win, no worries. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Mark, let me get back to just a couple of last questions here. Millennials, Gen Z, you know, it's a new generation that entered the workforce in the last, you know, 10, 20 years, and it seems that they prefer a different kind of a workplace. How do you, you know, advise companies, employers, on creating a millennial-friendly workplace?
So the first thing I would say is that, as far as I can tell, the most successful article that I've ever written is on LinkedIn. You can find it on my website, which is leadfromtheheart.com, and it's about millennials, and it's had about 800,000 views.
Wow!
And so so I know that it resonated, and interestingly, I think it resonated even more with the millennials themselves, because they were like, "Thank God somebody in a different generation gets us." But millennials are already the largest workforce. So they're the largest percentage of the workforce today, and it's only going to get bigger over the next few years here. So we can say, you know, they're going to have to accommodate us, or we can say more wisely, we're smart to accommodate them. And so they are, from the bottom up, changing how we manage and lead. And of course, like I said, my direct experience is the millennials truly want everything that I'm describing, because deep down they know it. And even though, you know, baby boomers, Gen X, they didn't get this in their direct experience, they've always wanted it. It's just millennials are demanding it, and they won't stay put. They won't work for you if they don't get it. So what are they looking for? I would say the first thing they want is they want purpose. You need to have a meaningful mission. You need to have something that's beyond just, we want to make $20,000 a month in income or whatever. You know, it has to be something that gets people excited. So compelling mission. They don't want a manager. They want a coach. They grew up being coached by, you know, soccer and all jujitsu and water polo and you name it, and they were on a first name basis, unlike, you know, my generation where you called everybody Mr. Crowley. And they want coaches. They want somebody who's going to teach them. They want frequent feedback, which kind of, you know, bums out or upsets some people in my generation. It's like, wow, they're so needy, because they were given it growing up, and so they're just used to it, and it helps them. Telling them quickly, you're doing this well, this is something I need you to do better on, but also while focusing on their strengths. And then autonomy, you know, it's give people a goal. Tell them what you want them to do. Teach them how to do it. Hold them accountable for it. Give them feedback along the way, but let them do it. You know, and if they want to come in a little bit later or stay, you know, come in early or stay late or vice versa, where they come in late and leave early, as long as they're getting the work done. I mean, unless they're on a, you know, on something where you have to be sitting someplace at a certain time and place, giving people a little bit more flexibility on when they get their work done is something that they really love. And I raised a millennial, and so I've seen how this plays out, and I'm right. You know, so, I mean, in other words, I know that this is what they want, but I also know in managing millennials, very successfully managing millennials, that when you give them this, they'll do amazing stuff. So set very high goals, hold people accountable, give them their feedback, and let them figure it out. That's my best advice for managing millennials.
But, okay, let me just ask you a question. Whether it's a millennial or not, if someone moves into an executive position or a position where, you know, where their peers are looking up to them, how important is it for them to set an example, let's say, to make sure that they're in the office before the team, or maybe they're not trotting around with their cell phone, et cetera?
You know, it doesn't matter as much to millennials. But the first thing I would say is, by the way, is manage everybody the way I'm describing it. So just because millennials want it, every generation has wanted this, and you will get greater performance out of people by managing them that way. I used to tell people who had very important jobs, I don't care when you come in, I don't care when you go home, but I'm holding you accountable some very big goals. And inevitably, people ended up working, coming in earlier, staying later, because they were on their own schedule. They got credit for when they came in. It wasn't I was saying you have to come in. You know, do you see the difference? So I just held people to a very, very high standard, and then I didn't really pay attention to when they got the work done. But if I call somebody at 7:30 at night and they were still at work, it didn't come to a surprise to me because people were trying to get the work done. So I think that's really the big picture here, is that the timing of when work gets done is becoming less and less important because people blend. They'll go to Starbucks and sit there for an hour and do some social media, and then they'll come back and they'll work till 10 o'clock at night. And it's sort of confusing and makes us uncomfortable. But I don't even necessarily think that CEOs have to be setting that standard anymore, although it doesn't hurt. You know, if you're never there, if you look like you're slacking, obviously that's not going to set a good example. But if people think that you're working and you're delivering and you're doing your job and you're accessible and reachable, they're not going to be judging you just because you're sitting at the desk.
Mark, this is really special. We have literally only around 30 seconds left. Any final takeaways you could share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Okay, so I'm going to establish now that I'm friends with every one of your audience now, that they are taking me seriously. They think this guy knows what he's talking about. So that's my premise. Okay. Based on that, I'm going to say this. My best advice is love your people. Love your people. And I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm just saying demonstrate to them that you care about them. And we know through positive psychology that human beings are hardwired to thrive on positive emotions and that no emotion lasts very long. So a steady diet of reinforcement, of training, coaching, telling people how much they matter to you, appreciation, encouragement, all of those things translate into positive emotions. But the last thing I would tell your audience is guess what? We now know that every positive emotion is an equivalent to love, and love is the most powerful energy on the planet. So if you develop your people, coach your people, encourage your people, instinctively, inherently, you are loving your people, and that is the greatest way to get performance out of people. I'm absolutely serious.
What a great edition of Mind Your Business. Mark, really special. Folks, you can pick up his book, Lead from the Heart. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Again, one lucky listener is going to receive it. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Good luck. And tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.